This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Reinald had the privilege of starting us off for the new year. And just touching on some valuable inputs as to how we as a church shouldn't neglect that area of our lives where we sometimes struggle or suffer. And not pass it away. And yes, what an interesting week as well for me. I had a battle preparing something because I still have a bit of a holiday brain. Anybody relate with me? Holiday brain? Yes, thank you. So, you know, God speaks to us in various ways, and for me, it's about pictures. I love colorful pictures, and I love it when God shows me something that's definitely green, and He's been showing us to us all around, which is beautiful. The nature, the trees. You can see the greenness. We went to Okanya yesterday, just for a quick visit to Von Bach, and how beautiful it was just to drive through there, and you see all the green around you, and just how thankful nature is for every drop of rain that God gives us. And to make it even more interesting, we've started the business already. My daughter got this brainwave at the end of last year that this year she wants to have a small business. Now, obviously, with children, you will understand, those of you that still have small children, you'll get to an age later on where they will get to an age later on where every venture is a business venture. So, in every aspect, how they see things, this business venture will not be conducted on their own. It will always involve you as a parent. And as a parent, you're obliged to share in the profits because you put in a lot of effort. But just want to tell you something today, all the profit goes to the kids, né? So if you share in their business, in their ventures, just know that you're going to end off with nothing, just some actual work. And we are busy. She wants to breed with quails, actually quail eggs. A very delicatessen little, tiny little egg, very hard, not easy to open up. We had an incident where one of them fell and it cracked on the ground, but we still cooked it and ate it. How beautiful. Nothing happened on the inside. It was a beautiful little egg. But here's the thing. We had a whole new project, and I'll get to that. And that's why I want to introduce a friend of mine today. His name is Plaziapi Scarecrow. And we're going to talk about Scarecrow faith today, specifically out of a point of view of if your faith was made up like a scarecrow, and I look at this is a skinny oak, you know, everybody has a desire to look like this after December, especially me. So, that's why I have some bigger shirts nowadays. So we're gonna put him here so you he's just part of the conversation. All right. So, Scarecrow is there, and he's there to ask us a couple of questions this morning, saying that, are you a scarecrow that scares people away, or are you the one that's a scarecrow that acts on behalf of Christ in the field? Because how quickly. See, in Scarecrow's purpose is to chase away the crows, the villains, those that want to eat the small little plants. And the picture that I received this week was that as a scarecrow, initially you stand out way above the all the other plants. And if it's maize meal, at some stage, or mealies or something, at some stage they grow so high that it's only a bit of your head that sticks out. But the fact is that if they grow to that point, it means you as a scarecrow have done your work. But if if only half of the crop is there, you sort of, there's something wrong. You're not, in a sense, scary enough. But now here's the key. We shouldn't be scary enough or so scary that we scare off people around us. Okay? So just keep that in mind. And when we look at the scarecrow, we need to dig deeper and ask the question on what is the value and the input that we as a community or in ourselves, that people contribute into our lives or against our own input and our living testimony. And as I mentioned, this week has been a very joyful week. We send the kids back to school. And do you know, peace and quiet. That happens at around about 7:35 in the morning when you get back home. Then you have peace and quiet, especially after a long holiday like December. And then we read on throughout some social media, and we got introduced, there's yet another new baby on the way this year, and in our own congregation. So we're so happy. I believe DSTV really let their prices go sky high. So in Windhoek especially, I'm glad the married people enjoy their life and get back to basics. But again, the highlight of this week was our little project that we had to do with the quails. And as I said, Aninka wanted to start this business. So we, as parents, had to get involved. We are her business partners. And again, the profit goes to the kids. I just need to make that clear. Nothing that you put in, you will actually get back, because their faces will just tell you that, sorry, it doesn't work like that. So in my case, we had to build a little house for the quails. And that allowed us to execute or work as a family, as a team together. And we had to execute so we can go. So this is more or less what we build. If you can't see there, we'll switch the lights off and then you can sort of see. So a lot of planning and execution was there. The kids were so excited for the first 2 minutes. They helped. They held on to something. And then 5 or 10 minutes later, it was like, do we have to really hold on to this? Dad, can I do something else? What else is there to do? And so the whole process goes on. And then I have my lovely wife who ensures that this little house is a Pinterest replica. Okay, so make sure that when you have somebody to build with you, that Pinterest is at the end of the line, because it helps a lot. But we had as a family, we did an exceptional job, because we had to work together. To fit this little house against the wall required all four of us in some way to be part of keeping this house up. So first we had to start with the structure, then we had to place it against the wall, then the filling comes in, and then it's the mesh wire. And at the end, we can stand back, and this is what we see. And I apologize, the technology of today goes into sleeping mode. That means I've got to speak quicker. Okay. But through this building process, I started thinking about the scarecrow faith title. And it's not to say that I want to put a scarecrow in there. Believe me, the little quails, they enjoy their little house, and we made it nice for them. We've got a New Year's a saying for this new year, that we want to make things lekker for people around us. We want to make things nice for people around us, and especially for the quails as well. We want to make it nice for them so that they aren't afraid. But the way we do things and the way we work together changes things. And again, bear with me, because I'm taking a long road. I need to keep you here for a while. I need to take a long road to get to the point of what I want to say today. So the execution of our project in working as a team together played out and released a bit of security for the little quails. So in the same sense, a scarecrow releases the security in a garden or on a farm for the plants in the initial phases of growing. And this is where the scarecrow faith comes in today. Because we need to understand that as a scarecrow, we've got a responsibility to ensure that the young, the new Christians, the new believers are cared for and looked after. Because I can tell you the enemy is a busy guy. When you go and you relax on a holiday or a weekend or something, the enemy, that's the chances that he takes and he infiltrates. So, 15 December, myself and my wife and Jacques and Ilanda and the kids, we set off on a specific journey to pray for the road between Windhoek and Swakop. So Freddie van Niekerk phoned me the one morning. He said, listen, guys, we need to pray. Do you want to be part of it? We need to pray for the roads, for the accidents, for just people, for the road specifically. And we took it upon ourselves, and we said we're going to do this. So 4:30 in the morning, some people were still nicely asleep, but thank goodness for coffee that helped us. We started for our journey from Windhoek, and we endured right through to Karabip, and that's where we met up with Freddie. And along the road, God gave us specific promises, specific scripture for this time. And I want to quickly share with you how that panned out and what happened. So if we go to the next slide, there's a graph. So this first one, apologies, the blue is last year and the orange is this year. So the statistics were taken from 25 November until 3 January. So obviously they're still working through a couple of things, but just to give you an idea that about what we received. So the crashes, which is the first one here, declined by 14%. Injuries declined by 18%, which is the middle one. And look at the last one. That's fatalities. Fatalities declined by 29% this year on the roads. Amen to Lord, huh? So if we compare it to last year, the crashes were 446 versus 385 this year. Injuries, 813 versus 665. Fatalities, 104 versus 74 this year. Now please tell me that God is not alive. Who's going to tell me that this morning? God is alive. He heard our hearts, and he sort of planted his heart on us, especially on Freddie, to hear the voice of God and say, listen, I want you to pray. And Freddie executed it. And it comes back to the plans that we make. It comes back to where we are planted. And I'm using the scarecrow analogy just so that you have this visual. But how faithful is God to know that when we ask him something, he gives it to us. When he makes a promise, he follows through. And this is not to say that the fatalities or the injuries is going to totally disappear on the roads. Let me just make that 100% clear. God will continually allow these things to happen. Because as human beings living in the world, we are so full of the dust of the world that we cannot hear or see God clearly. So he allows us to fall, and sometimes from a big distance, in order to shake off the dust, so that me and you, where we are clear in hearing his voice and seeing a clear vision that he gives to us. So if something bad happens in your life, do not just blame the devil for it. He's got a big, big finger in the pie, but God allows that in our lives in order to bring us back to a place of dependency on him. Okay, so this is the first half of the sermon. Now we're going to go to actual scripture. And I want to read this morning from John 17. And this is the final big prayer that Jesus gave before he was crucified. So if you have your Bibles here, I'm going to read from the ESV version. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may be glorified, glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." Verse 10, "All mine is yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the Son of Destruction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not from the world, just as I am not from the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not from the world, just as I am not from the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." An extremely intimate prayer in the last moments of Christ before he passed away, before he died on the cross. You see, he gives account of his earthly life, of what he did, the mission that he was sent with from the Father. And he divides his prayer into three sections where he prays for himself, his disciples, and for the later believers. During the week, I woke up one morning and, as my customary thing is that I do, is I get up, switch the coffee machine on, go into the study, switch the light on, so that there will be light in my life and I wake up And then I start reading. And I'm busy reading, and as I'm reading, I hear the coffee machine making its last, you know that's like the most valuable sound sometimes in the morning when you wake up and you hear that sound. And I finish my reading on that piece and I walk out, take a cup of coffee. But I did something different this time. I went back to bed and I sat on my bed and I started praying. And as I wanted to pray, God showed me this picture of Jesus in this last prayer, kneeling down. Now, just get this. Jesus wasn't kneeling down on the comfortable green grass outside or the comfort of his own bed. He was kneeling out in the field between the rocks and the thorns. And as he was taking out this customary position of prayer, seeking the Father's heart, speaking to the Father, it made me feel guilty inside. Because here I am, sitting in the comfort of my own bed, half asleep, speaking to God, trying to in a sense, justify to myself, Lord, we're going to make this day a good day. And I shared it with our intercession group, and thank goodness that as a unity we can speak together and we can share our opinions and share interpretations of things. And as we spoke, as I shared it, Ilanda just said to me, you know, sometimes it's not our physical, because we now we don't have to get up, we don't have to feel guilty about the physical, but we don't have to get up now and go out to on the stoop or outside and put some thorns, bushes or something, and then kneel down, you know, or put some rocks there, and then we need to kneel down to make it uncomfortable for ourselves in the physical. But this is a spiritual shift that needs to take place. We need to move our spiritual comfort. Easier said than done sometimes, eh? Our prayers to Jesus, to God, needs to reflect what we are busy with in our lives and what we still need to do. And here's the key in that. See, God cannot be glorified in a world if we don't ask Him to glorify us first in order for us to glorify Him. Jesus says it in the first verse. He says, Father, glorify me that I may glorify you. The glory of God needs to be in us first before we can be the glory to the world and glorify the Father. You guys with me? Everybody still, you're very quiet. Are we going in very deep now? Are we hitting, okay, still some place left. Verse 10 says in the New Living Translation, it says, all who are mine belong to you and you have given them to me. So they bring me glory. God's glory is the revelation of his character and his presence. The lives of the disciples reveal his character and he is present to the world through them. And we get back to the scarecrow. As it is, as this little man is standing there, he's not reflecting the character of God or even the presence of God. But you see, the thing is, we are so full of ourselves, we are so full of the worldly things that we continuously struggle to allow God to glorify us from within. And that's what I speak about in the spiritual comforts. We are so comfortable waking up in the morning, and believe me, I include myself in this, is that we wake up in the morning, we go through a specific ritual of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you that you've given me new life. Thank you for the sun that comes up. Thank you, Lord, that today is going to be a good day. Help me with this XYZ. And we start naming. We actually sometimes go through the whole alphabet, 26 of them. And then we get to the final things. And yes, I'm making a general thing. So if that doesn't include you, please don't take it personally. But it's just some food for thought. And we need to alter the way we see God, we speak to God. And Jesus is the perfect example. See, when we look at the prayer of Jesus, we see that the Father gave the Son the authority to give eternal life. So, who am I and who are you? Are we orphans or are we adopted sons? Because if we are adopted sons, we share in exactly the same, because God says it in His Word, we share in exactly the same as what the Father has given the Son. We need to live that way, people. We cannot just be the shy little people, the shy little Christians that gets walked over. We share in the same things that God, that the Father gave the Son, because we are sons in the house of the Father. As an orphan, we walk on the street, we walk wanderless. We do not know what the day of tomorrow is going to bring. But as a son in the Father's house, we know exactly where things are, and we need to walk in that authority. And here, the authority is given to eternal life. We need to show people in our lives that there is eternal life. The Father gives people out of this world to the Son. There's people on your heart today that you need to work through, that you need to get to, in order to explain to them, to show them, to live with them eternal life. Let me ask this question. Who will die some other stage in their life in this congregation? Who thinks they will die? Okay, good. You are all wrong. If you are in Christ, you will live. If you are in Christ, you will continually live. The physical body may pass away. But as a Christian, we do not live to die. We live to live with the glory of God in us. The Father gave the Son work to accomplish. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. The Father gave the Son the words, and that's what we have today, the Word of God. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you have sent me. The Father has given the Son His name and His glory. If you walk in the kingdom of God, you walk with a title of the Almighty God around you, in you, with you. You walk with God's glory around you and in you. We need to change our mindsets in that. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, and they, so that they may be one, even as we are one. So there's no distinction between the way we should be living or the way we live with our relationship between Jesus and us and the relationship between the Father and the Son. The Son gives us as believers eternal life. He gives us the Father's word, the manifestation of the Father's name. He gives us the glory. The Son asks the Father to glorify Him, to keep believers in the Father's name, to sanctify believers in the truth. And it is important to note that that sanctification is a lifelong process. It doesn't happen overnight. And the good old illustration of silver being purified, the word says it 7 times. To go into the furnace. And if you go read up on it, if my holiday brain doesn't put things in a different perspective. Silver is refined at around about 3,000 degrees Celsius. Now, to get it pure, they go through a process around about 7 times. Sanctification is a lifelong process. There's a relational and moral component. You need to believe differently, think differently, and you need to live differently. And then the Son asks the Father to make believers one. If my little scarecrow is alone in the garden, he might chase away a certain amount of crows or animals or villains. But if I have a couple of them in my garden, the chances of the villain coming in is going to be a lot less. But if one of my scarecrows are not filled and stands as this empty little thing, and we are not filled with the glory of God, and we do not walk with the name of God on our lips and the words of the Father on our lips, the scarecrow is going to remain the 2 sticks that I used to bound it with. You'll be good there. Jesus' followers and the world, that's the last part of Jesus' prayer to the Father, is that we are sent into the world. Verse 18 says, as you send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. We need to realize that we are in the world, but we are not from the world. And because we are not from the world, we are hated by the world. Verse 14 illustrates it so clearly as Jesus says that I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. But our unity with each other and the union with God may cause the world to believe that the Father hath sent the Son. If you do not live it out there, if you are not in a place where people see, if you do not act like God has given you the eternal life, God has given you His word, God has given you His glory, He's given you His name, if you don't live it out, people aren't going to see it. People aren't going to see the unity among believers. If you have an issue with a friend or with a member of the congregation, you need to sort it out. Because if there's not unity, people will see that there aren't unity. And they're going to question all the time. We do not need to convince people. We need to live it to people. So what is our scarecrow faith about today? We need to equip ourselves with the Word of God and become one with Jesus as He is now one with the Father. We need to impart that Word on those that God revealed to us so that we can glorify God and become one with Him. And we need to show people through our unity and union with God that Jesus was sent by the Father. He's alive. He's alive. You see, we are planted in a world, though we are not from the world, to keep believers from the evil one and allow Jesus to sanctify believers in truth. Matthew 22, verse 29, and I'm going to finish off. Adrian, you can also start coming to the front, please. But Jesus answered them, "You are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." And in a book of Andre Krier, one of our pastors from Port Elizabeth, Heavenly Flows, he writes and he says, "To truly know God, we must know His power, for He is powerful. To truly be an effective scarecrow, we must allow the Spirit of God to fill us and empower us so that we can help gather the harvest before the enemy gets to it." So for this new year, for this 2019, a lot of us has already made certain changes in our lives. We've allowed certain things to start happening. And we've allowed God to, I hope we've allowed God to infiltrate our lives and bring different perspective in our lives. We've allowed God to help us live His character through His presence in us. Because how often and a key example I exercised on Friday morning, and in the second set of the exercise I was fairly close to death after the holidays. But there was a guy in the front here, and as he was busy exercising, it's like a ticking clock, tick, 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 the whole time he's on his skipping rope. He doesn't miss a beat, and then all of a sudden I see he goes faster. But what made this guy unique was that he had tattoos from the collar of his neck straight through to the arms, right through to the legs, on his feet, the back of his head, behind his ears, he's got this big ring. And these two older ladies were next to us, and they were using the bigger gym balls there, and I just heard the discussion. And they said, if this guy doesn't, and they were discussing this guy openly. I mean, he probably understood them, but luckily for earphones. And they said, if this guy doesn't like the body that God gave him, he probably doesn't like the body God gave him. That's why he does all these tattoos and stuff. But you see, it made him different. It made him stood out. And my initial thing was as well, he's got this, he doesn't look normal. But what is normal? What is normal to us? Our society has given us this perspective of being normal. And that doesn't fit the profile. And all of a sudden, we classify him out of the norm. But what does it take for me and you to take one step closer to this guy and ask him about his tattoos? Asking, where does it come from? And I'm using tattoos as an example, and thank goodness I've got friends that have got beautiful tattoos. And we all have our different perspectives about the tattoo. But the earthly body will go back to dust, it will pass away. 2 Corinthians say that God will give us this new, we will be clothed with new spiritual heavenly bodies in the image of God, with the name of God, glorifying God through the way we look and we live. But who are we to judge a person by the way he looks? When I showed you the scarecrow, the first thing you wanted to do is you want to laugh. But you know, God uses people like this. He fills them from the inside so deeply so that me and you can see a different perspective of who God is, really is. And I'm going to ask the ushers to start handing out the communion. And while they're handing out, I want to read from 2 Corinthians 5 this morning. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave the earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will not put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we will groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God Himself has prepared for us. He has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are truly confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies. For then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. And again, it's not for me and you to decide by the way people look, but it's for God to judge and decide. We need to live life with Him. We need to live life. We need to be the scarecrow between those new believers. We need to stand tall with the Spirit of God within us, with the name of Christ Jesus written on our hearts, on our mouths, on our hands. You know, Mark 1 verse 14 says that for the kingdom is at hand. Let me see if I quickly get it and read you the right. The time promised by God has come at last, He announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. It's time for us to extend our hands. It's time for us to extend our hands in the spiritual, to change the spiritual comfortness we're walking around with, and allow God to transform us, to renew us, to help us believe differently, think differently, and live differently. And when we take communion this morning, we say, Lord, we look forward to the day where we are clothed with a heavenly body. But Father, on this earth, we resemble, or we relate with You this morning that our earthly bodies will pass away. And what You have done for us on the cross is, Lord, You've conquered death and You've given us that eternal life. And just where you are this morning, as we take the bread and we eat it, we say, thank You, Lord, that You've broken Your body for us. That You gave us an example that our earthly bodies will decay, it will go away. But you will clothe us in splendor. You will give us a new garment. You will give us a new body. Help us, remind ourselves of that daily. And as we take the wine, grape juice in this case, we thank you, Lord, that our Father, you shed your blood so that your blood can sanctify us, can clear us, can clean us. So that we, at the end, Lord, are clothed with glory to be able to stand in front of you. And I feel this morning that I need to pray, Father God, that as Moses went up to the mountain and the people said, yeah, Moses must go speak to God. God came down in the form of a cloud. Father God, I pray this morning that you will surround us with that glorious cloud, making us aware every moment, every minute of your presence. Father, instill in us your character, Lord Jesus, that we will not seek the character of the world, judgmental mindset of those that who are not like us, that we discard them, that we throw them out. But Father, that we this morning will accept and embrace your character as you have given it to us when you were on the earth. You are worthy to be praised forever and a day, Lord God. And just where you are, and as you've taken the bread and the juice, I want to invite you this morning that if you haven't given your life to Christ, or you want to make a recommitment, I know we all go through that place of holidays and somewhere in our lives we fall back and we say, Lord, I'm sorry. But if you've been there, you're in a difficult place this morning and you're not sure about the way forward, you know Jesus is the answer. A lot of people will say that to you, but I want to live it to you this morning. I want to pray it with you. I want to trust that Lord will miraculously change your life. Will miraculously engrave his words on your heart. That you will not seek the things of this world, but you will seek the things of eternal glory, the kingdom of God. And as he says, we need to extend our hand, because in the physical, this is what we will see. We will see an extended hand, but in the spiritual, we will see the kingdom of God. And I just feel this morning we need to embrace God's power, because people need to see God's power in working. If you suffer from illness, if you suffer from any sickness, I invite you to come to the front. We want to extend our hand. We want to extend the hand of God on you. We want to lay hands on you. Say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to know. We want to know God's power. It's not just enough is that we read scripture, but we want to live God's power in this world.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.